to Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's Throwback Thursday. 60 years ago on this date, Cassius Clay making his professional boxing debut in Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah, this song was on the charts. I remember this from Spy Hunter, the video game. I know I'm dating myself, but that's all I got. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We've been talking a lot about Tampa Bay, right? The Lightning won the Cup. The Rays are in the World Series. Buccaneers signed Antonio Brown. They're actually good at 5-2. Brady's playing well. So we thought, who can we get on to talk about Tampa Bay sports? Pat Donovan, WDAE, joining us. What's up, my friend?
Hey, man, always good to be with you.
Always good to have you on. So we'll get to the Buccaneers in a bit because there's a lot to unpack there. So let's do some housekeeping, cleaning with the Rays. Blake Snell taken out. This is what the Rays did. This is what Kevin Cash has done. But from a Tampa Bay Ray perspective, a fan perspective, a journalist perspective, was that the right call?
Listen, the Rays aren't in the World Series. The Rays haven't done all the things they've done over the past 12 years, if not for analytics. This is who this team is. That said, and you know this, Tony, listen, you don't win a championship without special performances, right? Every championship team, there are signature wins, there are signature moments, there are special performances that you point to and say, that's why we're champions. And as a manager, as a coach, if you're running a team, you have to recognize those special performances. And the last thing you do, is neuter a special performance. And that's what Kevin Cash did in Game 6. He took them out. You saw the results. You heard what Mookie Betts said after the game. When the other team is smiling as you're making a move, when the other team after the game says, boy, that really lifted us up. And you could see the impact it had on the rest of the Rays as well. He lost the World Series with that decision. Analytics got him there. It also may have cost him the World Series.
And this is a good baseball team that's been in the postseason before. This was not a fluky year. They're a well-built team. Is there a lesson? Do you think Kevin Cash learns a lesson here to say, maybe, just maybe, I got to go off the book a bit?
I hope so. Because, listen, Kevin is... And listen, a lot of people think like there's like an earwig in his ear and somebody's like up in a booth going, okay, here's what you're doing for the next batter. Of course not. He makes the decisions in the game, but a lot of what they do are organizational decisions. But I still believe he's one of the best managers in baseball. I still don't think whether it's organizational decisions or not, the way that you run your baseball team, the analytics that you use, you've still got to have the guy in the clubhouse that can connect with those players, can get players to buy into a system like this. I believe he's one of the best managers in baseball, and I think time after time after time he makes the right decision. So I hate to kill him over one. It just happened to be the biggest of his career, but he's a great manager, and I think he's got a chance to lead this team right back there, if not next year, in the coming years, because you think about it, they're just getting started with Randy Arozarena. Is he going to hit 500 and 100 home runs next year? No. But I think he's going to be a hell of an offensive player. Something this team really hasn't had through most of their time, right? And then we haven't even seen Wander Franco yet. So I think the future is very bright, but it's going to take a few days for us to get over as Rays fans for sure.
All right, let's get to the Buccaneers. So Antonio Brown, I don't know why this is why would the Buccaneers would do this. I know Tom Brady has a good relationship with them, and I know there's this rebuilding process and he can add value, but there's something about this signing that doesn't make sense to me. Does it make sense to you?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a guy named Tyler Johnson that's really started to come on for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? You know, the rookie from Minnesota that made the ridiculous catch in the Outback Bowl right here in Tampa that made Tampa fans go, oh, wait, that's the kid we just drafted. All right, let's see more of him, right? And he's playing really well. Scotty Miller's done a good job. For me, this isn't a need. And I know there's concern. Chris Godwin's going to miss another game on Monday night with a fractured finger, and he's been banged up. We've seen Mike Evans dinged up. We saw both of those guys late in the season last year go on IR with a hamstring. So this is an insurance policy. And listen, on the field, Antonio Brown has a chance to be better than all of them. He's been better than all of them, right? He's been the best receiver in the league for over a decade, except for the fact that, oh, by the way, he hasn't been on the field for a couple of years. Because why? Because, well, he may not be wide receiver diva crazy. He may be, like, real world crazy.
Right.
He may be out of his mind. How many guys live stream themselves throwing gummy bears at the police, right? Like, the guy's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So, listen, I don't know if Tom Brady can get him under wraps and then you make him act like a normal human being. He can be great for this football team. And Bruce Arians has been very clear. He's been very clear. You screw up once, you look at somebody sideways once, you're gone. So I don't think there's a ton of risk. But I still, like you just said, I don't get it. I don't feel like it's a need for this football team.
It'd be one thing if Antonio Brown had 7, 8, 9 weeks with Brady where you saw a change, but there was 1 week and out. So there's really nothing, there's no evidence to say that with Brady, he's a different kind of player with a different kind of attitude and a different kind of approach.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have to be a different kind of player, right? He can be the same player.
Oh, he can be the same player. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, but he hasn't proven that he's going to be a different person. He got run out of New England so damn quickly that, yeah, there's no evidence that he's going to get it. The only thing you can hope as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan is you can hope that he's got enough common sense. You can hope that he's got enough common sense to understand this is it. I screw this one up, right, with Tom Brady and a team that looks like it's got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. I screwed this one up. I will never get another chance. If he's got enough common sense for that, maybe, just maybe, he can act like a normal human being. But you, more times than not, Tony, you know this, crazy gone crazy.
That's right. Then listen, 5-2, Brady's playing fantastic, just named the NFC Offensive Player of the Month. Give us some other things about this Buccaneers team, though. What else is really working for them?
Boy, just about everything for the most part. You know, the last couple of games, they've really put it together. And we knew that it would take a little while when you've got a quarterback and a brand new system. And, oh, by the way, no OTAs, no mini camps, a weird training camp that wasn't what it usually is, no preseason whatsoever. We thought it would take a little bit, right? And we saw that. For a few weeks, few interceptions, not many touchdowns. People are going, is this guy still Tom Brady? Maybe it was Bill Belichick. All of a sudden, right, the last few weeks, 15 touchdowns, one interception. He's got 18-4 now on the year. And he looks like the Tom Brady we're all used to seeing. And why not? He's got weapons all over the place. Yes, they've lost O.J. Howard. But, you know, the two young receivers we just talked about a lot are playing really well when it comes to Tyler Johnson and even Scotty Miller, better than Tyler Johnson, right? Scotty Miller's been, I don't know about a surprise, because everyone kind of expected Tom Brady to find his little white guy to throw to, right? But, I mean, the kid's playing really well.
Yeah.
Chris Godwin and Mike Evans on the outside are two of the best receivers in football when they're healthy. So it's all there for him, and he knows how to use it all. They're playing really well. So I think the other thing is the defense. A lot of people thought they might get a little bit better, but they look at times to just be completely dominant. And they're giving up big plays, but what team in football doesn't in 2020, right? But they're turning the ball over. And they've got a young safety back there in Antoine Winfield Jr. That's surprising some people. And they've got the best set of linebackers in football. And I think people are quickly learning that Devin White may not just be the best player on this defense, maybe one of the best defensive players, if not the best defensive player in football.
A lot of people go back a couple of weeks ago who watched him nationally in that Thursday night game against the Bears, where he was getting on some teammates. He was trying to get some discipline. They were committing penalties and things like that, where Brady was getting frustrated. But in the end, was that needed for this team? Did Winston do those kind of things? Do they need a leadership role like that, where he's going to go after a team that, to get them more disciplined?
Jameis was a good leader, in my opinion. I mean, the turnovers were bad, but Jameis was a good leader. But he was also a very positive leader, and there wasn't a ton of discipline on this football team. And it's been that way for a long time. And even at the beginning of this year, right, they were committing a ton of penalties. Not many last week. There was a couple of big ones last week, but not a ton of penalties last week. And, of course, 2 weeks ago, for the first time probably ever for this franchise, and certainly for a long, long time, they actually went an entire game against the Green Bay Packers without committing a penalty. So, listen, a lot of people like to criticize Tom when they're losing and he does those things, but we've seen that from him in New England for years. He's a guy that's going to hold you accountable, and I think this is a team that really needed that. There were some guys, you know, on that offensive line that really needed that level of accountability, and all of a sudden, you know, we talked about Donovan Smith against the Saints in week one. He looked awful. They're kind of in his head. It'll be interesting to see how he plays against them in a couple weeks, but since then, the Buccaneers, on the season, 8 sacks in 7 games. It's been since 2007 that Brady's been sacked that infrequently in his first 7 games. That's huge for this football team, and I think that kind of comes from what you're talking about. That comes from the fact that this is a guy that's going to hold you accountable.
What's the attitude now about this team at 5-2? I mean, I'm sure in the beginning it's like, look, if you just give us a fighting chance for the postseason with Brady, we haven't been to the playoffs in a long time. 5-2 and looking at the landscape of the NFC, is the expectation now like, okay, now we really need to make a run at a championship or make a run at a Super Bowl?
I think it's always hard to have that as an expectation in football. You
right.
can look like the best team in football, but again, you know this, Tony. It's one of those things where, like, you got to be healthy at the end of the year, and it's a hard sport to be healthy in. And just, it's such a weird year with COVID and everything else. I think that for anybody to be like, I expect to be in the Super Bowl, although that's what they feel in that locker room, and they should, right? But as a fan, as an analyst, I think it's hard to say you expect anyone to be in the Super Bowl, especially in 2020. But look, this is a team, and the Green Bay Packers were undefeated a couple weeks ago and playing as well as anybody in football, and the Buccaneers beat them 38-10 and scored 38 consecutive points and just really were all over Aaron Rodgers. This is a team that can beat anybody in football. It doesn't necessarily mean they will. There's a lot of hurdles to get over. But right now, a team that, you know, and I feel like defensively, we just talked about Devin White and Antoine Winfield Jr. They've got a young secondary that looked awful at the beginning of last season. By the midway point, looks pretty good. Now they look very good. They're still very young, so they've got a lot of ascending players. So I feel like defensively, they're just scratching the surface. Offensively, they're just scratching the surface, and they already look like one of the better football teams in the league. There really is no ceiling for this football team right now.
Pat, always great talking to you. Thank you so much, my friend. Hope to catch up with you down the road as well.
You got it, man. Always available for you.
Pat Donovan, WDAE in Tampa, one of the really good stations out there. Progressive, proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. Good point that he made. Think about this for a quick second. You look at the AFC, right? And you can have a team like Buffalo at 4-2. Yep, they had a drop and they lost to Kansas City, lost to the Titans. But, you know, these losses, they don't come back to bite you if you get everything together and you're rolling along and you're playing well. But you do judge a team like the Bills, let's say, or even the Steelers at 6-0, right? Even the Steelers. You say, well, are they Kansas City good? Tennessee, the same thing. Are you Kansas City good? Are you Baltimore good? These are the look at the NFC. As good as Seattle is, as good as the Rams are playing, as good as San Francisco could play, as good as Green Bay is, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on. He's right. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers can beat anybody in that conference. You don't look at the Buccaneers and say, well, they're 5-2, but are they? The NFC East is nothing. Everybody else, they've either beaten or can beat. They're in that conversation. Whereas the AFC, you've got kind of an elite thought in Kansas City that you're sort of comparing to. Like, in the end, if Patrick Mahomes is healthy and this team's moving along, you got to be looking as good as them if we're going to put you in the Super Bowl. In the NFC, look at all those teams. And the Buccaneers are right there with them. Absolutely, right there with them. All right, again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. On Halloween night, two of the sport's most popular fighters, Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz, are going to be meeting at the Alamo Dome, and they're going to be fighting in front of fans as COVID-19 protocols will be in place. Go to Showtime.com or contact your pay-per-view provider. Also, if you're in the area, tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. This is one of those rare situations in boxing where there's going to be two belts and two different weight classes on the line. One fight, two titles. Santa Cruz's 130-pound title is on the line. Davis's 135-pound title is on the line. Three-time world champion Gervonta Davis, Leo Santa Cruz, headlining a pay-per-view event. It is Halloween night. Go check it out at Showtime.com. Also, contact your pay-per-view provider. And if you're in the San Antonio area and you want to check it out, tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. There will be some COVID-19 protocols in place, but you can catch the fight live in San Antonio. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network.